happy to hear argument in our last case, number 11-2176, Bethel World Outreach v. Montgomery County Council.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
May it please the Court, Roman Storzer for the appellant, Bethel World Outreach Ministries. We've ceded 5 minutes to the United States. I believe they're going to address the substantial burden claim that the appellant presents. There are three main issues here. First is whether the county's actions and laws have substantially burdened this church's religious exercise without a compelling governmental interest. That's under subsection A of RLUIPA and corresponding constitutional provisions. Under subsection B, whether that the government's actions have discriminated or targeted against the church, or whether the limitations placed on the church's religious exercise constitute an unreasonable limitation on their religious land use. District Court here, in effect, basically said that none of these provisions were violated because the county has a, quote, well-established policy of protecting agricultural land. These holdings, I think, violate the text of RLUIPA and the standards established by the decisions that have interpreted it. The church here is in a desperate state. It's needed a new place of worship for years. It's burdened in many, many different ways, going from, you know, ushers having to lock arms to prevent people from attending services, to not being able to provide ministries to youth and children, seniors, not being able to provide communion during services, and so on. These are all outlined in our briefs and the supporting materials.
I couldn't understand factually, as I understand it, there are two facilities you have.
Yes.
And you run services, a couple of services each time. And what are the numbers that those two facilities hold?
The one church holds, the church that they own holds about, I believe it's 400, 450 or so. And then there's a satellite location, which they lease now, which holds about 300, I believe.
And originally you were wanting to establish a church that had something, a capacity for something like 3,000?
Correct.
And what is the new plan?
800. So they...
Well, would that take care of your needs?
It would
take
care...
Because it seemed to me when I added up the two churches and multiple services, it came out to more than 800.
Well, the bishop that is in charge of the church says that it would satisfy all of their needs. That's what he's testified to. I do know that the church holds one language in French, so perhaps that service is something that would have to continue to be operated elsewhere. And it may keep its Silver Spring facilities open as a small center for people that live right there. But its members live all through the county, including in the area where it purchased its land. So according to the church, the new facility would be able to accommodate their religious exercise as they believe they should engage in it. Here we have a circumstance where the poor bishop has to run back and forth between the two facilities, doing service after service, not having any time to deal with the congregation or anything afterwards. There's a statement in the record from one of the associate pastors there saying that it's, quote, killing the man. Anyway, there's strong evidence in the record that the burdens are great here. So what does the church do? It buys property which is zoned for a church use. It buys property that allows that the church use is works with the county's master plan. It's not contrary to the comprehensive water and sewer plan. Everything works. It's even set up with a former official of the Maryland National Parks and Capital Parks and Planning Commission who sets up the deal for them. When that happens, because of local hostility to this church, the various residents get together, form a group. Eventually an ad hoc agricultural policy working group is created, which is comprised of the same people.
How do we know that from the record, that there's hostility to your church?
There is a great amount of evidence that the, first of all, the legislative materials, Bethel, there are notes about Bethel, its size, how many sanctuary seats it wants. We believe that the county has targeted both churches in general, as well as Bethel in particular. The individual.
I know what your belief is, but what I was doing, for example, I was comparing this to Reaching Hearts. You remember Reaching Hearts?
Of course.
And there seemed to me to be a lot more in the record in Reaching Hearts about discrimination or targeting or what have you with respect to the church there than there is here. So,
well, the local group, Citizens to Preserve the Reserve, included various members, I believe this is in the deposition of Jane Evans, that lived near both Bethel, and there was another church, Durwood Bible Church, that were both sort of targets of this policy. The Bethel was the only application that was affected by the passage of ZTA 077. It was the zoning text amendment was created in such a way not to preserve the county's interest in protecting the agricultural reserve, because you could still build a church in most of the agricultural reserve. The county's own witnesses stated that there was no rational relationship between the zoning text amendment and the county's purported interests. But it was designed in such a way to target churches that had these TDR easements encumbering the properties, which Bethel happened to have.
Well, you don't have to be a target of land use regulation to establish that you regulation substantially burdens your religious exercise.
Absolutely. Right? That gets to the subsection
A
claim.
Your second argument.
Substantially. And okay. this is a critically important point, Your Honor. The district court here, its ruling, it issued its ruling in an oral opinion from the bench, but basically said that there is no substantial burden because the church was not targeted. This is a fundamental misreading of the statute.
Why didn't you challenge ZTA 0707 in the state court proceeding?
It was not passed until the state court proceedings were nearly over.
I'm sorry, what was the end of that sentence? It was passed before there was a grant of summary judgment.
I believe it happened after discovery either had completed or just before it
had
completed.
True. But believe me, there are plenty of times when people, at least when I litigated cases, that there were late-breaking developments. ZTA was passed 2 months before there was any decision in this case.
I believe that's correct, Your Honor. And the ZTA 707 dealt with a completely different transaction. Under Maryland law, the concepts of res judicata and collateral
estoppel. I'm asking you as a strategy, why didn't you challenge it then?
Well, you knew it was a problem. There might be a little bit of speculation going on here. The church was represented by other counsel then, but I believe that the state, that there was an understanding that the church might have been grandfathered under the prior.
I was going to ask you that. Did you ask for an exception ever?
There is no exception.
The zoning ordinance, it seems to me when I'm dealing with Maryland law, there are always people are asking exceptions.
There is no exception that's available. For this, once the county determined that 707 was applicable in the way that the ordinance is written, our use is prohibited outright. There's no administrative process that we can go under to try to get any sort of...
And no one else has gotten an exception?
I'm not aware of any exception under that ordinance.
I mean, there's lots of times when the law doesn't expressly set something out and parties write and say... We have this good faith. We bought the land thinking we were going to do this.
Certainly, and there were discussions.
It certainly had been litigated a lot, so they had an interest.
There were discussions that went back and forth for years and years, but ultimately the county said no to the church, that it was not going to be allowed to build anything. There have been discussions. There were various discussions.
After passage of ZTA 2707?
Your Honor, I don't want to give you bad information, but I believe that is the case.
Okay.
Again, the legislative history mentions Bethel, not only that, churches, church size, sanctuaries, church programming, worship seats. The county wanted a comprehensive inventory of churches. And at the depositions, the county's own witnesses say that they were not interested in any other use other than churches. The county makes the argument that this applies to all what they call PIFs, public institutional facilities, but churches were the only ones that were affected by this effort and by this ordinance.
Well, does Zeta 0707 on its face apply to other?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. But it was targeted at these particular churches and not at other churches.
Well, but your representation to us is there have been no exceptions to 0707.
Well, I'm not sure.
Or any kind of group.
Well, the exception, the text exception is for properties that don't have TDR easements, such
right.
as the Archdiocese property next door, which the legislation simply leaves alone. We're not challenging the denial of public water and sewer facilities, which was taken care of in the state litigation. Your Honor, I see that my time is nearly up.
No, go ahead.
Okay. But rather, whether the continuing efforts of the county to engage in their protection of the agricultural reserve demonstrates that we were disfavored compared to the Archdiocese. Both churches had property there. Both churches had plans to build about the same size facility. The county passes a law that prohibits Bethel from engaging in its religious exercise, but not the Archdiocese, who had preliminary conceptual plans already approved at a preliminary level. Your Honor, my time is up. If the court has any other questions.
I've taken up a little bit of your time, and I'll give some to the other side, too. So if you have anything that you feel that you need to say.
Well, I'll take as much time as the court has to give me.
I didn't say that.
Your Honor, I did want to emphasize the unreasonable limitations here. Again, there's a great amount of evidence saying that the application of the law to this concept of TDR easements is simply it has no rational relationship to the county's purported interests in protecting agricultural land or the other interests it's thrown out, such as water quality, traffic, and so on. The water is not impacted less because a property which has development doesn't have a TDR easement. Traffic is not impacted less. The decrease in agricultural land is not affected less. The county's own witnesses have admitted that there's no connection between limiting the ZTA to encumbered properties and all of these asserted interests. So I know that there's not a lot of law interpreting this section of RLUIPA's subsection B, but we think that this creates a clear-cut case of an unreasonable limitation. And to top it all off, factually, you have a situation here where a church could come in, buy property that doesn't have TDR easements, build a church, and then sell those easements to another property, putting it in exactly the same position as Bethel would be if it would be allowed to build. That makes it similarly situated. There's absolutely no distinction on any basis whatsoever. We think that this is unreasonable and discriminatory.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honors.
May it please the court, Angela Miller for the United States as amicus in support of appellant. This case presents this court with an opportunity to apply RLUIPA's substantial burden standard in the land use context for the first time. And when doing so, the government would urge this court to consider the unique nature of land use cases, the many factual scenarios that could give rise to a RLUIPA violation in a land use context, as well as the decisions from other courts of appeals that have already applied the substantial burden standard in the land use context. Here, the district court repeated the substantial burden standard that this court developed in its Loveless decision. Of course, that arose in the prison context, but we think that the district court applied the standard in the land use context incorrectly, both legally and factually. As an initial matter, the most obvious legal error, as Judge Floyd pointed out, was that you don't have to be targeted in order to have a substantial burden on your religious exercise. More importantly, however, we think that the appropriate application of RLUIPA's substantial burden standard in the land use context is to look at the totality of the circumstances that are operating to determine whether a land use decision actually and substantially limits, inhibits, or interferes with a religious organization's religious exercise. This application draws on the other courts of appeals decisions to have already applied the standard in the land use context, and it takes into consideration the inherent qualitative differences between substantial burdens that may arise in the prison context or the institutionalized context and those from the land use context. We don't think that the Loveless decision that this court articulated or the Loveless standard application of that standard means that a land use decision that actually and substantially limits or interferes with the organization's religious exercise is permissible so long as it does not coerce an adherent to give up their religious beliefs or alter their religious behavior. We think that when one correctly applies the substantial burden standard in the land use context and recognizes the qualitative difference in the land use context and applies it to the facts in this case.
And how do you differentiate the two contexts, the prison context and the land use context?
Well, I think in a prison context, when the government makes a decision, the decision is final. If you're a prisoner and the prison says, no, you can't do that, you're done. You have no alternatives. You have no reasonable alternative. And the Second Circuit in its Westchester decision actually recognized that religious organizations in the land use context aren't ordinarily faced with those same dilemmas. If the government says you can't build, you can't build.
You can go somewhere.
You can go somewhere else. But those other...
In prison, you're not able to go somewhere.
You may go to a different prison, but you're probably going to be just as restricted. So when the court recognizes the unique nature of land use contexts and adapts or tailors the substantial burden standard for that context, we think it's pretty clear on this record that at the very least, Bethel raised a triable issue of material fact as to whether their religious exercise was substantially burdened. Again, we're not asking this court to adopt a different standard. We're asking this court to recognize that the substantial burden standard, when applied in the land use context, may look a little different. If there are no further questions, we'll rest on our brief.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Push it down a little bit. Good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the court. My name is Patricia Bai, and I represent the appellees, Montgomery County and Montgomery County Council in this case. The appellees would request that this court affirm the lower court's grant of summary judgment on all counts that were presented by Bethel. Because based on the undisputed facts and the totality of the circumstances, as the United States government has said this court and the lower court should look at, there is no violation of Bethel's rights under either the RLUIPA statute, the three provisions asserted, or either the Free Exercise Clause or the Equal Protection Clause of the United States Constitution. I'd like to start off with kind of a quote and somewhat of a paraphrase from a case, Castle Hills First Baptist versus City of Castle Hills, which is out of the Western District of Texas. It's a 2004 case, but I think it kind of sums up what we have here. A longstanding antagonism between church and municipality, which is rooted in the struggle over size and character of surrounding neighborhoods, shows a municipality means to halt the church's growth, not spiritually, but geographically. And in that case, like in the instant case, the court said, it's a case of a local government, in that case it was a city, here we have Montgomery County, setting a limit beyond which a church cannot overtake a municipality either by acreage or by architectural character. That is precisely the type of decision that is left to the cities or municipalities and not the courts. And that is what we have here, Your Honors. This case is about a county who has and it is longstanding, an overarching objective to preserve an area of its county for agricultural use, for farming, for open space, and a rural community.
Isn't there some evidence in this record that there was some gerrymandering done for the benefit of residents who did not want churches in the area? Isn't that in the record?
No, Your Honor, that claim has been made. However, I think if the court looks at the totality of the record, and you have three volumes of a record that contains a lengthy legislative record that shows starting in the 1980s, all the way up to present and continuing today, the county's efforts at listening to citizens' complaints, absolutely. Listening to citizens who live in that area, or residents that live in that area who farm, who have concerns about large-scale development. And that's really what this case is about. It's not about targeting a church. Yes, the church was the one that had an application, but the church, like other PIFs who could also apply, was one of a laundry list of institutions that are now precluded from developing in that area. And what the county saw fit to do, Your Honor, is draw a line. I mean, there are 90-something thousand acres of land up there.
Are there any properties that are as big as this church wanted to be in this area?
You mean a facility this large? Not that I'm aware of. I believe that there is a facility that holds 300 congregants of a 300-seat that is somewhere in the facility. The only other facility or entity that Bethel has raised is the Archdiocese.
I'm not asking what Bethel's raised. I'm asking you as a representative of the county to tell me if there are any other facilities in this area that are as large as Bethel wishes to be.
No, there are none that are that large.
There's no one that's gotten an exception.
No, not at all. In fact, if we go back to...
There are none that predated, in other words, this regulation, so they could have existed prior to this.
Of that size? No. Of 800 seats or more? No.
Okay, and you're just putting in that they have this clause that they have given up already about developing? Is that what you're talking about? Are you just limiting to those people? Take that out of the equation.
In other words, I want to know in absolute terms,
yes,
if there are any other facilities of this size in this area, whether they predated Bethel's application, whether they had the zoning necessity. You don't know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about.
Good.
And as far as
I
understand,
being very articulate.
No, and as far as I know exactly what you're asking me, and I think, as far as I understand from the record, there are no facilities of this size and character and nature that preceded Bethel at any time, as far as I understand from the record. They have allowed the Archdiocese to develop a cemetery there, but there's no construction on that property as of now that is of the size and nature of an 800-seat facility. And as far as I understand, what I believe is in the record, there is a facility that holds about 300 people that was developed years before. From the record and from all my review of it, there are statements by council members that says there's nothing in the area of this size nature for precedent.
I'm not worried about the nature. Let's just get to
the
size.
And it says size. And so as far as I understand from the record, there are none. But getting back to the question, Your Honor, of this gerrymandering issue, the county, if you look at the record, the county has for years been looking at these issues. This just didn't develop because a few citizens came to the county when Bethel filed their application and started complaining. This issue of the proliferation of the agricultural reserve in giving up acreage and in environmental impacts and in water runoff and impervious surface, all of these issues that are grouped together that the county has looked at for many, many years has been an issue or issues for many, many, many years.
Is there anything in the record that anybody else has been denied what Bethel's been denied? You just told me there aren't any other facilities.
Yes,
so there's a whole ream of people that have applied and not been permitted?
There was the Durwood Bible Church that applied prior to Bethel and maybe around the time that Bethel was applying, but I think preceded them. And they were denied the ability.
Do you live in Montgomery County?
I do.
Are you familiar with Chevy Chase Circle?
I am.
Are you familiar with all the churches around Chevy Chase Circle and the very fancy residential
neighborhood? I am. And
some of those churches are real big, aren't they?
And Your Honor, yes. But and that goes to show you where Montgomery County is not targeting or challenging the ability for churches to be inclusive in the county as a whole. There are 700 churches in Montgomery County, all over the county. However, the county has... In its land use planning, which it is entitled to do, I mean, as a government, it has the power to, and it has wide latitude and broad discretion to come up with land use planning strategies and decisions and regulations.
How big is this area?
The whole entire agricultural reserve is about over 90,000 acres. And I believe the restrictions right now that on the TDR lands where the line was drawn is over 40,000 acres. So that means on those 40,000 or so acres, there is a prohibition of any, not just churches. And if you look at the statute, and Your Honor, I think raised that earlier, it's a laundry list of private schools, nursing homes, retirement homes, daycare facilities, churches. The county had identified this category of PIFs, private institutional facilities, and included, was inclusive of all these types of of businesses or entities. And the idea is to keep them out of this area. And if you look at it, and I think that's why when the Department of Justice in its brief says you look at the totality of the circumstances, that's in fact what the court must do. And that's in fact
that
what the lower
what
court,
district
did.
Court did.
Though. Yes, I believe it did, Your Honor, because the idea that it, that there's some one, I think, statement taken out of the court's opinion that says the legislation doesn't target Bethel when it's looking at the substantial burden. If you read the decision, you'll see that the court went through the analysis of substantial burden. And unfortunately, there are not any cases in this circuit that deal with the RLUIPA and the land use and the idea of substantial burden. The Loveless versus Lee case, of course, is the prisoner case, and there's no definition. So we have to look to the cases.
Do you espouse a view about land use different than that forwarded by the United States? We're just talking about the standard now.
No, I think this.
I think you acknowledge that the government has put forth the correct standard.
Oh, absolutely. The standard is a substantial burden, but the question becomes
no, not just a substantial burden, but that you don't have the tail end of what you had in Loveless. In other words, that the prison is dealt with differently than land use.
Well, and as the United States has said, if you're told no, there's no other feasible. There's
so
no
you would agree problem. With the United States on that?
I do agree with that in that regard. Because in this case, which is significant in the record, is the fact that Bethel does practice its religious beliefs in two facilities, as Your Honor noted, one that it owns, one that it rents. And there's nothing in the record to indicate that there may not be other options for it. In fact, the bishop, Darlington Johnston, who is the the integral person in Bethel, and he presented a deposition. He went through all of the activities and programs that Bethel does, starting from having four services a day that seats that I believe he said there were between 900 and 1100 congregants that came to those services. They have Bible study programs. They have communion, funerals, weddings, all of the activities that a religious entity would want to engage. And when you look at the cases that talk about where substantial burden is, Reaching Hearts, for example, and some of the other cases that are cited by Bethel, you see that these places, these institutions either did not have their own home, so to speak, they were limited, they rented spaces, for example, in Reaching Hearts. I mean, that's a clear example of an institution not being able to do the things that it wants to do. It had, I believe it was in a shopping center or in some other facility that it rented where it would have to set up for services each time. It violated its religious beliefs because it was working on the Sabbath to set up. It had no place to do a variety of activities that Bethel has been doing for many, many years and doing very well. And they do it at their Silver Spring facility. They do it at their Bethel North, which is in the Gaithersburg area. And they engage in all of these. What Bethel wants, Your Honors, is to do bigger and better. And while that may be very noble in the religious area and for their church, and certainly that's ideal. But something that's ideal for Bethel is not necessarily what the law protects. While they may want these things and desire these other things, the fact is they're not substantially burdened. And the lower court looked at, the lower court had everything that Your Honors have before you in terms of everything that the church has done, every place that the church gets to practice its religion and do all the things. This isn't a situation where Bethel has to have that land at that particular location because it's so intricately related to what they do in terms of their religious beliefs or their religious exercise. It's a piece of land that they want to build a very large institution that the county says, I want to step back. We don't want large institutions.
See, the problem with, and I think you make your argument very well, your problem is that I don't think you allow for what RLUIPA requires. And maybe we don't think RLUIPA is a good law. But that's not what we determine.
No.
What we determine is that Congress, Senate, it made a pact here between Republicans and Democrats that religious organizations are going to be particularly protected, more than they're protected under the First Amendment.
I agree, Your Honor, and it's
and
very
so
broad.
Before you had an enactment of ZETA 0707,
yes,
right? Before that, this
church owned the property, right?
The property in the agricultural reserve, yes, it did.
And it had a reasonable expectation that it could build on that property.
Well, we would disagree with
why that. Why would you disagree? There was no ZETA forbidding them from doing that.
Because
they could get a private well and septic.
Now, and if I could just address that issue. When it first purchased the property, what it decided or what it wanted to do was build a 3,000-seat sanctuary. Of course, that has changed. And in order to do that, it needed public water and sewer.
Right, and that's all gone. All of that is gone.
Absolutely. However, when it purchased the property, and the bishop acknowledged this very clearly in his deposition, it knew that there was a lot of struggles and issues going on in the agricultural reserve. The fact that a use was permitted did not guarantee a church or anybody who bought up there that they were going to get to build.
I didn't say guaranteed it. I said they had a reasonable expectation. And you're telling me, well, but they didn't have a reasonable expectation of putting a 3,000-person facility in, doesn't answer the question whether they had a reasonable expectation for the facility that they now want to put in.
And I think that the record is clear in terms of the issue that is being addressed by their 800-seat facility, which is the multi-use, the private well and septic for multi-use, the county had concerns over those kinds of uses way back in 2003, even
had
before
they let
purchasing
people do them?
Property. Excuse me.
Had they permitted them? The county.
Had they permit? There's no facility built with a multi-use system like Bethel wants in any of that time period.
I guess I can go read the record too, but it's to your advantage to characterize the record accurately.
Absolutely, Your Honor, and I mean, I could pull the record out and cite you. I mean, we've cited those things, I believe, in our brief, so you know, you can certainly check. I think I'm accurately reflecting what the record shows, but even before Bethel purchased that property in March of 2004, as early as 2003, in the record, there's indications of the county's concern with PIF developing using multi-use systems. So that's in the record. It does show that the county had those concerns before Bethel purchased the property.
It didn't prohibit them.
It didn't prohibit it, but what it did was it continued to look at it. It had various ZTAs that it had reviewed. It had public hearings. I mean, the county certainly has an interest in taking its time in some regard to make sure it does things that it wants to do properly rather than have to go back and review and revise, which it has actually done. It's come against challenges. It's come against these pitfalls. But land use strategies and land use planning, they're fluid. And a government, I think, under its own authority, has the power to review and to look at and to maybe not jump in haste and issue a ZTA and then have to go back and change it. So it's a developing process. And Bethel was caught up in this, absolutely. I mean, they were there, they purchased this property, but they didn't go into it with, I don't want to say clean hands. I mean, they didn't go into it they shouldn't have gone into it without knowing all of these issues that were going on up in the agricultural reserve, because it's in every document, or not every, but it's in many of the documents that are presented in the record. So, And again, I mean, I think when we look at, we cited to the court the Vision case, which comes the district court case, and then it was affirmed by the Seventh Circuit. But that is the closest case that we could find on the facts. And that was a case where a church bought property in an area, a village, where churches were permitted. Okay, the church was permitted to build. However, after it purchased the property, it wanted to annex to the village. I guess it was kind of on the outskirts of the village. And in the process, while the church was looking to build and submitting applications and so forth, this village changed the rules. The village changed the rules, and they changed what use the church could use on its property, and limiting significantly the size of what it could build. And the court said that the village's goals, municipal planning goals, were very significant. And when you looked at the legislative record and you looked at the comprehensive plan that the village had in place, which we would say is akin to the county's functional master plan that dates back to 1980, This idea of aesthetics and open land and having a quiet countryside, those were all contained throughout the record. So just because it changed the rules of the game, so to speak, in midstream, even though the church had bought the religious institution had bought the land thinking it could build what it wanted, that was not a violation of their rights under RLUIPA or any of the free exercise clause or whatever other claims that the court looked at, because the court looked at the totality of the record and went back and said, these municipal planning goals, these strategies, they've been long time. They didn't just develop over time just because this church came into being. And when you look at the total record, I think you'll see that it just didn't happen overnight. And that's what Bethel wants this case to be. Bethel would like this case to be about, well, we came in and all of a sudden the church has hostility towards us. The county has hostility towards us because we're a church. That is not it. Everywhere in the record, it talks about size and scope. Size and scope.
Is it possible for a landowner to build a church and then sell the TDR?
Well, that's one of the issues that has been raised in this case. There are certain lands that the landowners have not sold off their TDRs, and those lands are not impacted by the ZTA. However, when the county was looking at the various regulations that it wanted to impose, they had two issues. One issue was this double benefit that might occur. But the other issue was that if you take those properties and prevent those people from selling those TDRs, which they purchased that land with the value of the TDR in it, they would lose that value. So the county, as I believe it is authorized to do under its legislative authority, under its municipal planning authorities, it drew a line. And it said, we're going to look at these properties because these people...
So the answer to your question is yes?
Is yes.
And has anybody done that?
No, not that I am aware of, and there's nothing in the record that
says
that.
What is on this property? There aren't any big... Is it all houses, farms? What's on this?
In the agriculture reserve?
Yes.
There are farms. There are residents.
There's no commercial activity?
Not that I'm aware of, no. There is the All Souls Cemetery is there. There may be several churches that were there from, years ago, small, very small in character. There might be some utilities, things of that nature, but there's no large-scale development or large-scale businesses or entities like that in the area. Your Honor, unless I see my time is winding down, unless there are any other questions, we would ask that the court uphold the district court's grant of summary judgment in favor of the county and the county council.
Thank you very much.
Your Honors, a few points. The Vision Church case cited by the appellees here, in that case, a church was allowed to be built. It wasn't completely prohibited like our church is. We think a complete prohibition increases the burden that a religious organization faces. The question that Your Honor had previously about the new facility that's planned on page 794 of the joint appendix, the bishop states that the property has sufficient size to accommodate both the present and projected future religious needs of the church. So there's evidence supporting that proposition. It's important to note that we're not challenging a jury verdict here. We're here on a summary judgment motion. And to say that there are no genuine issues of material fact is to completely ignore the voluminous record demonstrating the burden, the evidence demonstrating that Bethel was targeted. Perhaps there's a fair question. We didn't file for summary judgment here. We want a trial. The lower court said that on its view that the county has had a longstanding interest in protecting agricultural land, none of these claims can go forward as a matter of law, we think is simply error. And that's really what we're here about.
Is there in the record evidence of commercial activity or large structures or anything on this assertedly protected property?
Are you talking about this specific parcel?
No, I'm talking about
okay.
the
area. The church is basically surrounded by residential development. There are lots with larger lot sizes in one direction, very dense housing in another direction, and then I think very close by townhouses and other very dense uses. There's another church across the road. There's the Archdiocese. which again has planned a much larger facility, a 750-seat church together with a 400-seat school. It has a 362-seat cemetery chapel.
There was only the cemetery there.
There is now, but the church has plans, conceptual plans, that have had received some sort of preliminary approval to build there right beside
they,
this
did
property.
Did they come in and have the correct RDTs?
Correct. They did not sell their TDRs, so the ZTA 707 does not implicate them. Council talked about the idea of somehow targeting properties that did not sell their TDRs and this supposed property interest, which there's no legal support for. But the county didn't have to do that. If the county was honest about its asserted interest in protecting agricultural land, it would say no more churches in the agricultural reserve. That's not what it did. It saw that there was this one particular application for one particular church that local residents were hostile towards, and it decided that we would craft this in such a way that would allow the Archdiocese to keep going forward, but not Bethel. And again, we're not saying that that proves our case. We're saying that creates a genuine issue of material fact here. With respect to the Castle Hills decision that council referred to, I was the attorney in that case, and the church there won part of the case involving use of its building for religious worship. It lost on an issue of a parking lot here. And to talk about growth, there's nothing in RLUIPA says that a church doesn't have a right to grow. If that's what this case is about, we think we would still have a legitimate meritorious case under the substantial burdens provision, but that's not what this case is all about. This church cannot do what it wants to do right now with its present congregation. It can't give out communion to its people during services. It can't have what's called altar call for people to bring up the problems to the bishop. It is now, people cannot go. They're forced to go into some other room and watch closed circuit TV with the services being broadcast that way. And with respect to the government's, we haven't spoken much about the government's interest here. The government cannot insulate itself from any review under RLUIPA simply by saying that it has an interest in some area of regulation. Sure, the county is interested in protecting ag land. That doesn't mean that anything it ever does with respect to regulating property within the agricultural reserve is therefore now insulated from any sort of review. And what ZTA does is not protect most of that land. Again, the district court said that the interest was compelling merely because it was a, quote, well-established policy pre-existing. That's not the test. The Supreme Court has said in the Gonzalez versus Ocentro decision, courts must scrutinize the asserted harm of granting specific exemptions to particular religious claimants. This is not compelling as a matter of law. Protecting agricultural land has been held by other courts to not be an issue of public health and safety. It's not compelling because it allows the same activity to go unhindered in the same area, leaving appreciable substantial damage to that supposed interest unprohibited, using the Supreme Court's language in the Church of Lukumi Babalu I. And it's not compelling as a matter of fact, as the county's own witnesses have said, that this particular use would not harm its interest in protecting ag land, in protecting water quality, et cetera. It's sort of, they use a slippery slope argument saying that if we allowed all churches to use up all the property, then that would harm our interest. But that's not what we're talking about. And the courts have said, the Supreme Court has said, that you can't have this sort of slippery slope argument saying if I make an exception for you, I have to make it for everyone. That's not the appropriate legal standard here, but it's the one that the county has used, and it's apparently the one that the court below has adopted. So we ask that the summary judgment be reversed and that we have an opportunity to bring these issues to trial.
Thank you very much. I'll ask our clerk to adjourn court, and then we will come down and greet.